All right, good morning, church. Welcome to those worshiping online. So glad to have you with us this morning. Hello to those of you outside on the patio. I see you. Glad to see you here this morning. I'm fired up this morning. Got a lot of energy because not only is this week two of a new series called Build Your Church, but this is the week where I get to cast or recast in many ways the vision for our church. I love to talk about vision because vision is a powerful thing. The Bible says that without vision, people perish. So vision is very, very important to an organization, to a people, to a movement. I love talking about vision in general. But I really love talking about the vision for our church in particular, and so that's what I get to do today. I want to start with a quote, one of my favorite quotes about vision, just to understand it. It's from Andy Stanley in his book, Visioneering. It says this: "Vision is a picture of what could be, fueled by a passion for what should be." And we believe we have both of those in and for our church. A picture of what could be fueled by a passion for what should be. And so today, I'm going to cast or recast the vision for our church. We're in the fifth year of living into this vision, which is based around one word that we'll get to in just a few moments. The fifth year of living into this vision, but we're in the 170th year of our church. Our church is 170 years old. You may not know this. Yeah, we're excited about that. Speaking of that, and I see you down here, Sally, you're fired up. Everybody should be as fired up as Sally is to be a part of this. This should be a message where you're interactive. This should be a message where we should hear, where we should get fired up. I'm inviting you, even if you're at home, like, amen. Say amen through that TV to all of us. If you're outside, we should hear you from outside. Because even though this is a 170-year-old church, and you might not have known this, but I love to share this little fun fact. Our church is the first Protestant church in Contra Costa County. That's the church that you're a part of. True story. You might wonder, how does a vision, a new vision, a fresh vision, or the vision we're going to talk about today work in an established church? Does it work in an established church, in an older church? And the answer to that question is yes. And one of the quotes that I love to refer to is from a guy named Ken Priddy. Ken Priddy leads in our entire denomination, which is the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, the EPC. He leads a group called the Church Revitalization Group. He's the executive director. And he has this to say about established churches. He says, established churches, like ours, can experience prolonged seasons of growth, health, and renewal. But, now there's a but there's like an integral ingredient to that health and that growth and renewal, and it is not without an outward focused vision. We have to have an outward focused vision to grow, to have a renewed health. That means a focus on unreached people. That means a focus on unchurched people. That means a focus on our community. Now, if you are new or relatively new to CPC, or like Deanna said when she welcomed us this morning, if you feel new, if you're like, gosh, I'm not quite at home, I don't know quite how this church works yet, I want to personally welcome you, but I also want to encourage you with this. This is like this message is like your what is this church all about message. This is like what guides and girds everything that we do message. So simply put, the vision of our church is based around one very important word, and here it is right here: reach. The word is reach. I want to be clear. Our vision here at CPC is to reach people for Christ. That's our vision. Our vision is to reach people for Christ. So for the rest of our time here this morning, and it's going to be fast-paced, we're going to cover a lot of ground, here's the simple framework we're going to look at in regard to the reach vision. The first question we're going to answer is why? Why is our vision built around the word reach? What's the biblical foundation for having an outward-focused vision around the word reach? The second thing we're going to look at is what is it? What does our reach vision mean? What does it look like? And then the final thing, this is where you come in, is how. How do we live into it? How do you, all of you listening, all of you sitting here, all of you watching at home, how do you step into and participate in this vision? Like, I can be a part of that. I can do that. I should do that. So let's, like very good communicators try to do, we try to start with why a lot of the time. Why do we have this outward-focused vision based around the word reach? I'm going to take you to three places in Scripture. Now, one of them, the first one, is what I believe, I like to call it the mission statement of Jesus. Because Jesus, there's a place in Scripture where he says, this is why I came. Like, you ever wonder, like, why would Jesus leave the splendors, the perfection of heaven as the creator of all things? And he tells us in Luke chapter 19 at verse 10, he says, this is why the Son of Man came. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Someone who believes in that should just say amen. Amen. This is why Jesus came. You want to know? I came to seek and save lost people. That is an outward focused vision and mission. Now again, a little bit later in Mark chapter 2, he says this, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus was an outward-facing, outward-focused leader. He's the founder of this vision, you might say. Now, let me take you to one more place in Scripture that I think best explains the why of an outward-focused vision, and that is a place, it's in Matthew chapter 28, and it's called the Great Commission. So this might be familiar to some of you, but this is a big place where we get our vision to reach people for Christ. Here's what the Great Commission says. This is Jesus. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. That's quite a statement. We'll come back to it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, let me just teach to this and break this down a little bit. At the beginning of the Great Commission and at the end of the Great Commission, kind of hemming it in, bracketing it, if you will, are two incredible statements, promises, really, of Jesus. Let's highlight those now. On the front end, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Can you just think about that for 1 second? Do you know how bold of a statement that is from Jesus right there? All authority, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's what Jesus said. Like, that is mind-blowing that he would say that. So that's how he starts the Great Commission. Here's how he finishes it. And I am with you always. So can you combine those promises? Like, if we are about the things that Jesus tells us to be about in the middle of the Great Commission, he says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, and surely I am with you. That means we have the authority and the power of heaven and earth operating on our behalf if we are about the Great Commission. Isn't that incredible? Thank you, the two of you that think that's incredible. You guys need more coffee before you come in here to hear a vision message at 9 a.m., I'm telling you. So now let's get to the middle. Now let's get to the meat and see what he says. Therefore, go. That is outward focused. If the mission and vision of Jesus were inward focused, he would not start it with this word right here. He would not say go. He would say come. That's inward. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything. For the next 2 weeks, this week and next week, we're going to break down this right here. And this week is all going to be about our vision to go and make disciples. That's the heart of our REACH vision. And then when you think of baptizing them and teaching them, this is the path of discipleship. That's all next week. We're looking at our path of discipleship, what it looks like to follow Jesus. But this week is all about the going and the making disciples. These are just three examples from Scripture of the biblical foundation, the why behind our REACH vision. That's why our vision is outward focused with this word REACH. Now, the second thing we're going to look at is what? What is our REACH vision? What does it look like? What is it all about? And so let's just put this up here. This is our REACH vision. There is a word that each letter in the word REACH stands for, and I'm going to move through them now to teach this REACH vision. The R stands for renew. Our vision is to renew a gospel movement among the unchurched 95% of the San Ramon Valley. Now, you may not have known that, but we did some research a few years ago that shows, okay, there's about 100,000 people in Alamo, Danville and San Ramon. And if you go out the Doherty Valley toward the Dublin area, you get another 50,000. We're talking about 150,000 people. And somewhere between 95 to 97% of the people in our valley are unchurched, not interested in following Jesus on any given Sunday. Like right now, you're in church and you're watching church. 95% of the people in this valley, they're not in church. And here's another just sober reminder. They're not looking at their watch going like, oh my gosh, I'm missing church. It's not even on their minds. But we want to renew a gospel movement, a good news of who Jesus is movement in and through the San Ramon Valley. And one of the biggest ways that we do that is this thing that we've talked about the last 2 weeks is the For the Valley movement. Like that is a primary way that we're trying to renew a gospel movement. And let me tell you a story about why For the Valley is such a valuable, important thing for accomplishing this vision to renew a gospel movement. Now, you know, you've heard probably that in a couple weeks we have our biggest outreach of the year, one of the biggest things that we do, and that's Serve Day. It's coming up in 2 weekends, and we'll come back to Serve Day multiple times in the message. But what you might not have known is that we've been doing this, we're in our sixth year of doing Serve Day, and each year, this is last year notwithstanding, because we're in a COVID, a pandemic, each year the number of volunteers has increased steadily. And 3 years ago, right before we started the For the Valley movement, there was something interesting that happened on Serve Day, and that is we had 1,500 people signed up in over 35 projects all over the Bay Area, but guess how many projects we had off campus in the San Ramon Valley? And this is where you can participate. I actually want you guys to call out a few guesses. How many? We had 1,500 volunteers, 35 projects. How many off campus in the valley projects that we have? Just throw out some numbers that you think. 15, 3, 30, 10. Here's the answer. It's going to surprise you. Zero. Before we launched For the Valley, zero. And let me be clear, not for lack of trying or asking. We went to tons of organizations in the valley and said, can we serve you? Can we give you volunteers? Can we partner with you? But none of them said yes that year. And you've probably heard this phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. The people of our valley, the organizations in our valley, didn't believe that we care for them. They didn't believe yet that we were for them. So we launched this For the Valley movement, and we go, we are for you. God is for you. We're for the schools. We're for the first responders. We're for the local government. We're for the local business. We're going to show up to everything. You're not going to be able to get rid of us. We're operating under this idea of like, if our church shut down, that this valley would just be devastated that we didn't have people there to serve in this valley. So we really started to walk into this For the Valley movement. And now, I promise you, that 95% that are unchurched, they know that they know that they know that our church is for them. Amen? They know that we're living out this belief that being for others like God is for us can indeed change the world. So we want to renew a gospel movement, and For the Valley is a way that we're trying to accomplish that. Let's look at the next letter in our reach vision, engage. And this means engage. Our vision is to engage all generations through gatherings, groups, and technology. Let me break that down a little bit. All generations. We are an intergenerational church, amen? Let me just give you a picture from a couple Serve Days ago. This is an intergenerational church. You see families, you see young kids, you see elderly people, you see everything in between. And any given Sunday, like right now, you've got people that are with babies. We've heard babies crying in this service. I heard them earlier. I thought, oh, now they're probably in the family room with nursing parents and the rest of their kids probably watching through the screen. That's great. So we've got people who are here for 4 weeks, 4 weeks old. We also have many people here for 4+ decades that have been members. Matter of fact, every year we celebrate what we call Pioneer Awards. Those are 40-year-plus members of CPC. This year, would you believe that there are over 20 people that have been 40-year members here at CPC that we're going to celebrate a little bit later in the year. Isn't that incredible? Like, 40 years. 13 families we're going to celebrate coming up. So that's so cool. We have an intergenerational church, which I love. Let me give an example of someone who just thought, you know what? I want to serve in a unique way in this intergenerational church to be a part of the Reach vision. You guys know who Doug and Ruth Ann Thompson are? Let me show you a picture right here. That's Doug and Ruth Ann. And ironically, this is the day that we celebrated them a few years back as part of the Pioneer, their Pioneer Award, their 40th year. When Doug was a 39-year member of CPC, he finally said yes to serving as an elder, serving on our board of elders. And so I remember during the nominating committee, and by the way, Doug and Ruth Ann have served in like every other area. Ruth Ann used to work at the church. Doug is like greeter extraordinaire, the first person that many people see as they walk up, standing on the curb, just greeting everybody, hugging you, telling them you love them. He served in many other ways. But we had a conversation in the nominating committee meeting when Doug came in to interview to be on the board. And I said, and it was a 3-year term. So I said, Doug, why now? Like, why do you want to be on the board now? And I remember he said, well, he comes from a business background. And so his answer was funny. And those of you with a business background will be able to relate to this. He goes, Tyler, I've served in many areas in my 39 years here. But he goes, I have to be honest. I hate meetings. So then I had to remind him, you're signing up to be on the board. Like, we have meetings, like once a month. And he said, yeah, but here's what I hate about meetings. He said, when all is said and done, more often, more is said than done, and I love to get things done. And I go, that is great. So, and tell me why you want to serve in this way right now. And he goes, Tyler, I know that Ruth Ann and I have influence among our older, the oldest generation in our church. And he said, I'm so excited about this Reach vision and to reach people for Christ that I want to leverage my influence across my generation, because we need all generations to be all in on the vision to reach people for Christ. And I am so excited because he did. And he came and he served an amazing 3-year term. So let's just clap for Doug and Ruth Ann. It was incredible. Gatherings, groups, and technology. This is a gathering, intergenerational gathering, music, message, groups. We want everybody to be in a group. Don't just come, don't just be online. Get into a small group. Get into a volunteer group where you can serve together. Join Serve Day as a group, as a family. Ministries, a midweek ministry. Technology. Technology is something, I just have to talk about it for a second, because it's so important for what we do. And thank God for the gift of technology over the last year and a half. Amen? You probably remember this. We went exactly one calendar year without being able to meet at all in person in this room. 52 weeks. We were online only. But would you believe that our church actually grew during that time? It's hard to see it now. It's hard to see it right now. And you look around right now and go, gosh, it doesn't feel like we grew, because here's the full disclosure. Our attendance average right now in person is about 50% on average of our pre-COVID attendance for adults, 50%. Kids is actually a lot closer to the pre-COVID number. But adults, it's 50%. But would you believe that our online attendance is 2 to 3x pre-COVID? So we're reaching more people because of technology. Let me give you two practical examples or stories about how that has worked. The first one is this. We had a membership class recently. And oh, let me tell you this, more people, I've said this before, you might have missed this, more people in 2020 came through our membership classes than in 2019. This doesn't even seem like it's possible. We moved them all online to Zoom. We had more people come through membership classes than in 2019 before the pandemic started. And then here's another true story. 2 weeks ago, we had a membership class. I'm looking right down here at our person who basically runs our membership process. This is Heather Muncy. She's our director of Connect. Yeah, you can clap for Heather because she's awesome. So she's leading our online Zoom membership. This is the first time in all the membership classes, I've been here 10 years, and I would have thought, this is not even possible. Every person or couple that was joining our church were exclusively online worshipers. They'd never even been here. And then the week after, which was last weekend, we had a couple who came and said, this is the first time on campus we joined the church. And they walked up to me and said, we'd like to meet you in person. They're already members because of technology. So we want to engage all generations through gatherings, groups, and technology. Amen? Okay, let's look at the next letter in our reach. Oh, that's a picture of the membership class. Renew, engage, attract. The attract is we want to attract the next generation of young families and students. Now, here's why this is so important. I'm only going to say two things about the word attract. And the first one is this. Now, I'm looking at a lot of people who are, you're movers and shakers. You're influencers. You either are having or you've had success in business or your career. You're highly educated. You're highly motivated. So you'll understand this. In any organization, and many of you lead organizations, in any organization, in order to survive and thrive into the future, and it doesn't matter if you're a church or a business, let me be clear, the church is not a business. That is not what I'm saying. But you know, I'm making this relatable to business people, you know that for a business or an organization to survive and thrive into the future, you must be able to reach and connect with and keep the next generation. Amen? So, amen? Okay, so we highly resource our CPC Kids ministry and our student ministries. Like, lots of people, lots of resources, and I have personal experience in this because I don't know if you know my story, but I grew up at this church, and I was a part of our high school ministry here. And believe it or not, I'm 47 years old, so 30 plus years ago, Rock was called Rock. Still called Rock. And 30 plus years ago, we had these two anchor trips that were a part of the student discipleship experience and great outreach to our community. And the two trips were in the spring. We did a mission trip to Mexico. And in the summer, we did something called houseboats. Guess what? We're still doing them. And they're incredible. And we've missed them for two straight years. So here's some good news I get to share with you. In 2022, they're coming back. We get to have. So Bill Haslam, who is our student ministries director, they sent out the save the date last week for houseboats in the summer and Mexico in the spring. Here's a couple pictures here. I mean, these things are absolutely incredible. And I can't wait. Let me give you one more piece of good news, not with our CPC student ministries, but also CPC Kids. We have an incredible kids director, Stephanie Stagel. She leads a great team. Yep. And let me give you an update. And I said to Stephanie, can you give me some accurate numbers about how our CPC Kids ministry is doing coming out of COVID? She said, I'll give you the most important encouraging number that you need to share with people. And she says this right here. We have 54 new families part of CPC Kids since February of this year. Like, that is humming. So that's the first thing I want to say. We're going to keep resourcing CPC Kids and students. We want to have best in class. We believe that we do ministries for those two people. Now let me say one more thing. This is the second thing under this word attract. When you use the word attract, this is not lost on me, in a vision or as part of a vision for a church, there are people in the church, and this might be some of you, and usually it's the people that have been a part of a church longer that have a little bit of pushback and a question that you might ask or even be thinking. And you'd say, since we're using the word attract, you think this question, are we going to become a church that waters down the message of the gospel? And the answer is absolutely not. I will never, ever, ever stop preaching the true, full gospel message. Ever. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, my heart echoes the Apostle Paul. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it, the gospel, who Jesus is, what he's done, dying on a cross, resurrected to new life for your sins, for mine. We can be forgiven of sins, have a forever relationship with God through faith in him. That, because it, the gospel, is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Amen? Let me give you one more passage that just talks about the importance of preaching the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 says this. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. Now you might look at that and go like, that's a cool little passage. You don't get it. So I'm going to explain it. You don't get it, I promise. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Brothers and sisters, that means they're already in the family of God. They're already Christians. He's calling them brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I already preached to you. So he's reminding the church of the gospel that he already preached to them. Sound familiar? And then he says, don't miss the tenses. Which you have received. They've already said yes to Jesus. They've already committed their lives to following Jesus. They've responded to the gospel and said, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. He says, that you have received, that's past tense. So the Bible, or the gospel, is the most important thing in our past. We make a decision. We respond to Jesus that you've already received. Look at the middle part. In which you now stand. That's present tense. The gospel is the power for our past. The gospel is the power for our present. It's the platform that we stand on. It's the basis of our identity. Not what we do, but who we are in Christ based on what he has done for us. The gospel is the power. The gospel is the power. I'm reminding you, brothers and sisters, you've already responded to the gospel. Now you're standing in the gospel. Past tense. Present tense. Don't miss the last part. By which you are being saved. Future, perfect tense. So the gospel is not only the key to our past and understanding that, it's the key to our present, and it is the key to our future. Where and what that is you're saved and sanctified by that same gospel. The more we understand it, the more we apply it to our lives, the more we build our life and our identity on it, we become more like Jesus. It's past tense, present tense, future tense. I mean, the gospel is the power, amen? You just have to keep preaching the gospel. And I want to encourage you, it's not just me who preaches the gospel around here. 2 weeks ago, we had a guest speaker, Jeff Henderson, who gave a vision message on For the Valley because he founded the whole For movement, and he preached the gospel. And my job that day was to introduce Jeff Henderson and come up and close in prayer. But in the midst of the message, I'm like, oh my gosh, he is sharing the straight gospel. So as I'm praying, which I always do when I'm listening to a guest speaker, I just feel like God's going like, he's preaching the gospel. You better give them a chance to respond to the gospel. And I don't know if you were here. I got up and I just gave people a chance to respond to the truth of the gospel that they heard. And dozens of people and hands said yes to Jesus. It was incredible because we just keep preaching the gospel. Yeah, we're trying to attract people, but the gospel is the most attractive thing, amen, to people. One more story about the power of the gospel. It's not just people who are older in our church. It's people who are leading the youth and the students of our church. Because a few weeks ago, we had our whole elder group, I've told a story about this, that was serving at our middle school ministry at the end of summer bash. And our incredible middle school director, Sarah Athern, stood up at that and to 190 kids gave a gospel message built and tied into the story of, in the movie, of Finding Nemo. It was brilliant. And at the end, she gave people a chance to respond to the gospel. And I know this because one of my friends, her 13-year-old daughter, had prayed about inviting this one friend of hers, Abby, and she had never said yes. And finally that night, she came yes, and she was nervous. And at the end of having an amazing time, she raised her hand and gave her heart to Jesus, responding to the gospel. And it was incredible. That's a picture of it. That's a picture of it. The gospel is the power. You can be in shorts and a t-shirt and flip-flops. You can have a sport coat. It doesn't matter. The gospel is the power. Man, I love the gospel. I told you, we'll never stop. The C in our Reach vision is care. We care for hurting people with the hope and the healing of the gospel. There it is again, the gospel. And we have an amazing pastor and leader of our care ministries. You know Heidi Johnson, don't you? Pastor Heidi, yeah. She's incredible, and you've heard of our care ministries. We've got grief share, we've got divorce care, and some seasons we've got divorce care for kids. We have an amazing ministry to seniors. Our deacons, oh my gosh, our deacons are incredible. They're like the hands and feet of Jesus. They're quietly one of the biggest engines that undergirds all that we do on Serve Day, tons of project leaders. They're a big part of For the Valley. We have recovery ministries that meet in through our church every single week. We have a counseling center, CPC, Community Presbyterian Counseling Center, led by our director, Brent Robrey. He said this recently. He said, not only in the last year have we had the busiest, like most visits with the most therapists year in the history of our counseling center coming off of COVID. He said his research and his prediction is there'll be at least a 5-year like hangover effect of everything that we've been through as a culture and a nation and a community over the last year and a half. He predicts at least a 5-year period of time where more people are going to need more counseling. He goes, just think about it. It's isolation. It's fear. It's COVID. It's a pandemic. It's sheltering in place. It's covering your face for a year and a half and not seeing people's expressions. It's students going to school for over a year online only and not having that interaction. He goes, this thing will have a long tail. And it's probably at least a 5-year hangover that people are going to need to work through this with the message and the hope and the healing that comes from the gospel. Incredible Care Ministries, the H in our reach vision is help. Renew a gospel movement, engage all generations, attract the next generation, care for hurting people, and help people leverage their time, talent, and treasure locally, local missions, and globally. Not just for the valley, for the world. By the way, week 5 in this series is for the world. It's going to be all about our global and local missions. And I just want to tease this out. I haven't talked about this yet. I'm going to share a message called For the World, and I'm going to make an ask. I'm going to ask people to give to missions locally and globally. And the promise is every single penny of what comes in that Sunday is going out to our mission partners, locally and globally. Every penny. And I just want to share this too. I'm praying and I'm believing, and it's going to happen, that God is going to stir our hearts and we're going to give over a $500,000 on that day to local and global missions. And I'm telling you, that is part of the heart of this church. It's not just for the valley. It's not local. It's always been global impact for the gospel. And I just believe God is going to do it. Okay, we've looked at the why. We've got a couple minutes left. We looked at the why. The biblical foundation of our reach vision. We looked at the what. What is our reach vision? Finally, how? How do we participate? How is this going to go? Because when we launched this 5 years ago, we were in a season of uncertainty where we didn't really know what. We didn't have For the Valley 5 years ago. We didn't know. All we knew 5 years ago is that in the 10 years before that, our church had lost 1,000 members and 21% of its attended. The 10 years before we launched our reach vision. We needed an outward focused vision. So we launched this not knowing what it was going to be like. And here we are coming out of COVID and a pandemic, and we're in another season where we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know how people are going to respond. But there is a principle we see all throughout Scripture where God responds and honors when people just obey what he's calling them to do. I'm calling you to reach. I'm calling you to be for other people. I'm calling you to walk. And here's the principle, just a little phrase, power along the way. This is what our God does. He gives us power along the way. You've probably experienced God prompt you or nudge you or encourage you to do something in your life where you didn't know how it was going to turn out. But your job is to obey, right? Our job is to obey. And so you started walking in the direction that God was leading you, and he gave you this power along the way. This theme is all over Scripture. I'm going to give you a few examples. We go back to Exodus chapter 14. Remember when the Israelites were enslaved to the Egyptians, but God is punishing Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, and right after he gets done with his 10th plague, finally Pharaoh says, I've had it. You guys need to get out of here. And he sends all of the Israelites, he says, go home, leave. And so all the Israelites are free. They're marching back toward Israel. And then later that night, Pharaoh's court basically comes in and reminds him, by the way, you just sent off our entire workforce. There goes our labor force. And so Pharaoh, kind of a fickle leader, goes, you know what? Go get them back. And so they start chasing the Israelites, and the Israelites are marching toward the Red Sea, and you can read about this in Exodus chapter 14. They get close to the Red Sea, and they see a wall of water in front, and they look back, and they go, those are the Egyptians coming to kill or capture us, and they turn on Moses, and they go, you brought us here just to die. And Moses says in Exodus chapter 14, no, God promised to deliver us. We have to walk. Turn toward the wall of water, toward the sea, and walk. And what does God provide? Power along the way. He opens up the waters of the Red Sea. They pass through. It's one of the greatest miracles of Scripture. The Egyptian army gets swallowed up. God provides power along the way. Amen? A few chapters later, Joshua chapter 3. The Israelites had wandered for years and years. And they had not gone into the promised land. And they're like, what is going to happen? And finally, God taps Joshua and he says, today's the day. And Joshua says, are you sure today is the day? And he goes, today's the day. So he goes, take the Ark of the Covenant. This is where the presence of God lived back there. And put it on the shoulders of the leaders and start walking. And where do they walk? Toward the waters of the Jordan River that separated them from the promised land. I mean, they could see it. And he says, walk toward the water. And they said, God, there's a problem here. Read about this in Joshua chapter 3 when you go home. There's a problem. The Jordan River is at flood stage. None of us know how to swim. You're telling us to walk into something that's going to kill us. And he says, no, I'm telling you to walk. And he goes, and don't just walk, and don't get close, and don't get your toes on the edge. Put your ankles in the water and go. And God provides power along the way. He parts the Jordan. He pushes it back, and they walk through a dry ground all the way to the promised land, and God gives power along the way. Those are two examples in the Old Testament. Well, what does he do in the New Testament? Does that stop? No. We go to the first miracle you see of Jesus in the New Testament, John chapter 2, turning water into... Yeah, I knew you'd get that one. Turning water into wine, and they're at a wedding, and this is where this miracle happens, and they're sipping it, and all of a sudden there's no more wine, and Jesus says, okay, bring some servants, and he goes, go fill up those six vats, those six barrels, and bring them back to me, and they bring them back to me, and then he says, no, now here's what I want you to do next. I want you to take these barrels of water to the wine taster. Now, these are the guys who just filled up the water. So they're going, why would we take water to the wine taster? And Jesus is going, because something's going to happen when you start walking. I'm going to enter into this. I'm going to give you power along the way. And so they walk, and something amazing happens, and it's miraculous. And what happens? They taste the wine and go, this is the best wine we've ever tasted. We should have started this party with it. Let me give you one more example a few chapters later in Luke chapter 17. Jesus is coming with his people. He's coming over the hill from Galilee on the way to Samaria. And as he's walking, he sees 10 lepers screaming to him, saying, Jesus, come and heal us. Heal us now. And this is what we want as Christians. We want immediate results. We are a now generation. We're raising kids who want it now, 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 now. Everything. Come and heal us now, heal us now. And Jesus comes, read about this in Luke 17. Jesus comes and says, no, I want you to do something to the lepers. These were outcasts. He says, I want you to walk into town and go to the priests. Go face to face with the priests and ask for healing. And they look at him and they go, are you crazy? We can't do that. We'd be marching to ridicule. We'd be marching to maybe even our death, certainly our exile. And Jesus reminds them, something's going to happen on the walk. Your job is to start walking. And one of my favorite verses, it's so easy to skip over, Luke chapter 17 and verse 14. And as they walked, they were healed. So here we are coming out of COVID with this reach vision that we believe is clear, we believe is compelling, we believe it's biblical, we know it's outward focused. But we're coming on this precipice of, we're in uncertain times again. We don't know how it's going to be post-COVID. And I feel like Jesus is just saying, I haven't changed. Just keep walking, and I'm going to give you, let's say it together, power along the way. Amen? And growth right now, when you look around and you see, gosh, 50%. 50% of the pre-COVID attendance in person. Now, 3X online. But sometimes now, especially, growth is hard to see. It's hard to have that encouragement. Let me give you two more encouragements, and then your action step, and then we'll be done. The last 5 years at CPC, fresh numbers in the last 2 days, we've added 555 new members. That's in the last 5 years. We can thank God for that. More importantly, the Great Commission is not go and get new members. The Great Commission is go and make disciples, baptizing them. A baptized person is the symbol of a life transformed. And so more importantly, in the last 5 years at CPC, 314 baptisms. That's what we can celebrate. That's the life transformation. So how do we do it? How do you do it? How do I do it? How do we do it as a church? It's one person at a time. It's one family at a time. It's one step at a time. So here's something that we believe. at our church that is true. Each one can reach one. Each person can reach someone. You can reach someone, and you can reach someone, and you each one can reach one. Each one can reach one. Each one can reach one. That's how this happens. Each one reaches one. It's one person at a time, one family at a time, one colleague at a time, one friend at a time, one neighbor at a time, one teammate, one classmate at a time. So here's what this looks like super tangibly, super practically. Your next step of how to walk into this reach vision. This is literally in the next 2 weeks, next steps. Your next steps. Number one, sign up for Serve Day. I know there's more than 800 people in our church. So lots of you have not signed up for Serve Day. Sign up for Serve Day. This is a chance to participate in our reach vision. And here's the second thing. Invite one person or one family, if you signed up as a family, to serve with you. Again, tangibly, a family, a neighbor, a friend, a teammate, a classmate. This is how it happens, just one step at a time. Final slide. This is a picture of someone's journey. And we are all on a journey, amen? We're on a journey. And hopefully, that journey, which includes lots of steps, at some point has a point where they meet and trust and follow Jesus. I think so many people think, gosh, if our vision is to reach people for Christ, our vision is we have to get every person here. And what's interesting is, like, I'm a pastor, and I give people invitations to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord all the time. I know this. And you know this too. I've never saved one person. Are you kidding me? You know what my job is? It's the same as your job in our different roles. And how we enter the Reach Vision is just all we're trying to do. Let's simplify it for it. We're just getting people one step closer to Jesus. And God is giving us power along the way. Every time you talk, every time you invite your neighbor over to dinner, every time you sign up for Serve Day, every time you give an invitation, every time you serve, it's just moving people one step closer to Jesus. You can do this, church. We can do this. That's our vision, to reach people for Christ. Let's stand and pray. We'll be on our way. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for clarity of vision. Clarity of vision. Jesus, we thank you for modeling the reach vision. You were willing to go. You were willing to reach out. You came to seek and save the lost. Didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. And you gave us a great commission. That means we're co-laborers on your mission, your vision, to go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. So God, thank you for the call to reach people. Help us in this vision. Continue to give us power along the way. And I pray that you would encourage every single man, every single woman, every child, every person watching here in person, every person worshiping at home, to take these simple action steps, to join us in this ministry, this serve opportunity for our valley, to volunteer, to make the ask, to invite, to bring, better yet, to bring a person or a family to serve with us. These are just simple, effective ways to join in this reach vision as we hopefully, prayerfully move people one step closer to you, Jesus, so that ultimately they can trust you as Savior and Lord. And God, thank you for the promise of providing power along the way. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.